Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
All right, we're back again on the Buckhead Church Podcast. Sarah and Rodney Anderson, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
We're glad to be here.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of the COVID crisis, a lot of heaviness, but today we're going to be talking about parenting.
Mm-hmm. In a pandemic.
Very specific.
Very niche parenting.
That's right.
Topic.
This is very niche content.
Not a lot of books
of
out there.
No.
Exclusive content today.
Exactly right. You two are super fun people, but you're also, I find you to be very thoughtful people. Y'all just seem like you have stimulating conversation all the time. Sarah, you write content for a living.
Yes.
You want to explain to everybody what you do, who you work with?
I write curriculum for teenagers and content for parents and kids to use in their families and churches.
How about that?
Yeah.
And Rodney leads. You've been a pastor at Buckhead Church for
Been on staff here for 10 years, been a pastor for 20 years, and lead single adults, lead Canopy, but have been involved in, like most pastors, you've been doing a bunch of different stuff. Right, do content, and wife and I, we stay up most nights till 2-3 in the morning talking about the meaning of life and all kinds of things. I mean,
it's
really powerful in our house.
Well, you have two kids. I want you to tell us about your kids, but before you do that, I do want to make one comment that my son said about your son. His name is Asher.
Yes.
Okay, yep.
He is in the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
So my son Jake is in his small group, and last week he told me, Asher is the only one in the group that always does the right thing.
Oh,
man.
What?
Heart melting right there.
I have waited until this moment to tell you that.
I'm glad there's one place in his life where he does the right thing.
Yeah.
That's great.
He's getting it all out at church and taking everything
out. How cool is that, though?
That is really cool.
I just thought, way to go.
I said he wanted a play date with your son.
Well.
And he's the only one.
After the COVID.
That's right. Tell him it's going to have to wait.
COVID crisis is
over. No play dates right now.
That's right.
But Asher's your oldest. Tell us about.
Asher's 10 and Pace is 8. And just like most parents with multiple kids, they could not be more different.
Mm-hmm.
And so parenting strategies are always changing and flexing.
On the fly.
On the fly.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Well, let's jump in to some of the content. Let's just start with, I'll start with a general broad question. How do you parent during a pandemic?
Well, the last pandemic we parented through COVID, we learned some lessons.
From last time.
Yeah. It's a great question because everybody is really trying to figure this out. Parents of preschools and elementary age kids, and they're asking questions about it. And Asher was asking us just last week. He's like, "Dad, are you scared?" Sorry, my eyes got something in it.
You started crying as you said that.
That it was an emotional question. And he just said, "Hey, I can tell you're nervous. I can tell you're scared."
And Rodney's not normally the nervous one of the two of us.
I'm an Enneagram 9.
They expect that from me, but not from him.
So that's right.
Steady Eddie.
Yes.
Yeah, everything's going to be fine. And even if it's not fine, it's still going to be fine.
I'm not going to pay attention to the hard stuff. That'd be terrible.
That's right.
I'm just going to tell myself it's going to be fine.
Exactly right.
That's right.
We've been having great conversations. And, I mean, Sarah, you had a great thought about trying to figure out that balance between.
We were just trying to figure out how to make wise decisions versus fearful decisions and that they might end up looking the same. So the outcome of a decision made out of fear could look the same as a decision made out of wisdom. And to them, we look afraid because we're telling them to wash their hands all the time. But we're saying, no, we're just being careful because we love our neighbors this way by being careful with how we're taking care of the germs on our hands in our house. And that's a way for us to be wise and not afraid. But explaining to them that, because they don't know what's happening internally in our own decision-making process.
I love that perspective shift, that you end up with the same thing, wash a kid with washed hands, but it really does matter as we parent during these days. Are you coming at it from wisdom? Are you coming at it from fear? That's a great thing to think through.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And it's also, this is a good opportunity, I think, right now, because all of us as parents, we want to just pave the way for our kids for whatever reason, right or wrong. We don't want them to have to struggle, right? We want to remove obstacles from them. We want to shelter hard things from them, which is probably newer to parenting in the last,
10, 20, 30 years.
Probably.
For sure.
history, there was hard things all the time.
Yeah, there were less helicopter parents 30 years ago.
Yes. And Sarah was saying now they're called
lawnmower parents.
So you're literally going
the path before them, taking away all the obstacles and clearing.
You're preparing the path for the child.
Yeah.
As opposed to preparing the child for the path.
And this is almost, it's forcing our hand. It's making us realize as parents that we don't really have control over that.
We can't. That's right.
That instead of this being a fearful thing where, these obstacles happen, we can teach resilience in the face of these obstacles. And so we can't take away the crisis around us or what's happening in our world, our country, but we can teach them how to live in light of it.
Because we don't want to remove the hard things from our kids, really. Because we all know that's how we grow.
That's right.
That's how we turn out to be decent people is learning from the hard things, the difficult things, and the obstacles. And I think we're handicapping our kids when we try to hide them and try to remove all the obstacles. So a global pandemic kind of just hits you square in the face to go, kids, suck it up. That's right.
Yeah. I love the line that Catherine Wolfe from Hope Heals says. She says she tells her kids all the time, hey, God has prepared you to do hard things in this good story that he's writing.
Yeah.
And that is so true that God has made you to do some hard things. And this is one of those. So just because it's hard doesn't mean we can't do it.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful story that he's writing. Yeah. But of course, it's going to be filled with some hard things.
Yeah.
Like pandemics.
Right.
On the other hand, I think it's important to realize that because we've never gone through this before, that is anxiety producing for parents and for kids. And to realize that anxiety showing up in a child may not look the same as it shows up in an adult. And so what might look like, fatigue or restlessness or temper tantrums, like those could all be signs of anxiety in our kids, and paying attention to that, even if they can't necessarily say the words, I'm anxious, that this is how this could play out in their reality.
I love that. I've heard the two of you talk about some family values that you have, and I feel like some of them I would imagine are more pertinent now than ever. Can you talk through those?
Yeah, so we've got like five family values that we kind of like talk about, we hold up, and we feel like two of those are pretty, they're really helpful right now in terms of how we're talking to our kids. One of the values we have is that family is a team sport.
Family is a team sport.
Family is a team sport.
Love that.
I think it is really easy sometimes to kind of pit sides, parents versus kids, and who's going to win. And every now and again, I mean, it's always going to feel that way. But as much as possible, we want to carry the value with our kids that we're all responsible for how this family operates. And the way that plays out practically is, we give our kids tons of responsibilities, tons of insight into what we do. They need to know how they fit and what part they play in the family. And so right now with anxiety and the pandemic and the schedules are crazy and no one really knows exactly what one day to the next
is. And you've gotten an email or two from someone from school.
Oh my goodness.
Just one, I think.
Just one. Oh my God. Another login to a different platform that we now have assignments on.
Yeah. We just have two kids.
Well, we have three in school, so it's just one more. But and they all have different platforms that they use.
Yes.
But anyway, yes.
You still have more that you're doing other things with, right?
Those kids are
no,
too.
We have completely neglected the young ones. Yes. You are raising yourself. Good luck.
Right. Orphaned by the pandemic.
That's right. There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah. So we want them to know how they fit and what part they play. So we've been giving them a lot of responsibility to say, hey, how this day goes is partly your responsibility. We need you to speak into when do you want to do school, just those kinds of things.
Giving them a sense of independence within the day, giving them a sense of structures, because I think the lack of structure can be fear-inducing as well, so just allowing them to have some say into how the day goes.
Oh, I love that.
And I think it's good, one thing that is important in a time like this, I think, is to continue to speak into your kids' lives why they're valuable right now. And so this is a good time for parents to look at the kids. You're home, you're going to be there for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 months, whatever it is. At night, it's a great time to go, you know why I'm glad you're in this family? I can look at Asher and go, you still notice everything that's beautiful. I love that you love blankets. I love that you love things that are cozy. I love that you love to slow our family down. Our family needs you right now.
Wow.
To look at pace and to say, you're always wanting to have fun. You're always trying to get us to do something different. You are always empathetic. You always notice how other people are struggling. Our family needs that right now. Way to go. Our family's better because you're in it. And that's just a way that they can know, wow, I'm needed right now.
I love that, Rodney, because I feel like my go-to disposition towards my kids right now is being agitated or irritated at them, because we're all in there together trying to work, trying to do life, a lot of shared space. And to be intentional about making a moment, creating a moment where I'm going to choose to communicate something I enjoy about them.
Yes. Yep.
I think that's huge, because in the season, God can use the season to strengthen our family and not just allow this to be something that we just get through.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this in the car on the way down, that this is going to be something that kids of a certain age will remember for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
And so I think that there's a heaviness to that, but also a good kind of a sense of responsibility of how we kind of steward the time that's been given to us. And not to say that there aren't going to be hard days where you want to hide in the bathroom, but how to take advantage of the moments, you know, make intentional moments happen.
I love that.
I want this memory to be for them in 10, 15, 20 years. Mm. The worst time ever for our families.
Right.
You know, I mean, because that 100% could happen.
It might be, right.
Might be. So let's try to mitigate that as much as possible.
I love that. And one of the things I love about all of this is it doesn't matter if you are two working parents, both of you work. It doesn't matter if you're single mom, single dad. No matter where you are, I think all this applies to you. Maybe we can end this way. Let's talk about faith. Let's talk about how are you talking about God in the middle of all of this. I'm sure you write Christian curriculum for a living. You're a pastor. It just oozes out of you at all times.
Nonstop.
It's not spiritual development. But I do feel like there's probably something that we can all learn from that. So how are you handling that?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about this earlier as well. I think it's interesting that this kind of came on the radar screen, bookended between Christmas and Easter, and and these really prevalent messages of those two seasons, right? So Christmas, the message is that God is with us and that God has entered into our suffering, into our discomfort. And before he did any kind of miracle or healing or multiplying food, he was present.
He was Emmanuel.
It is all about God being with us. And Easter, we're celebrating that God can bring beauty out of ashes, that he can bring hard things and make beautiful things out of them. And so I think those two messages are something we're really going to lean into with our own kids, that no matter what happens, God is present and God is with us, and that we are going to look around for opportunities to see life, even though when there's a lot of bad opportunities or things to see that aren't necessarily positive.
We're like gonna, people we're hoarding toilet paper.
Like hoarding toilet paper, sure. For example. We're going to look for the light and focus on
that. I love that. Such as you mentioned earlier, Olaf, or
doing bedtime stories.
So
every
good,
night,
and yeah. Josh Gad reading children's books every night in his Twitter feed, and doing
how cool is that?
It's so great.
It's not hard to find. Yeah. I think it's important to draw attention to that. Turn off the news for a minute, and draw attention to the things that people are doing that are making their gifts available to other people and really sharing it.
I love that. So Christmas, God is with us. Easter, let's hope that this is at least getting closer to being over by then, that God is bringing beauty out of ashes. That's phenomenal. Hey, thank you two so much. Thanks for lending your voice, lending your ideas. And to all of you parents out there that are parenting kids right now, we want you to know we're with you. Not only are we for you, but we're with you as well. We hope this is helpful for you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.
Once again, thanks for listening. If you would like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And to experience community anytime, anywhere, make sure that you go to digitalgroups.org/buckhead. Have an awesome, awesome day.